The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
And now, this guy. This guy.
Following program may impair the ability to drive or operate machinery. So please use care until you become familiar with the effects of the following program. Any portion of this program may be duplicated and freely distributed throughout the world. Mm-hmm. Permission is granted to share all data electronically over the internet or by any mechanical means you do so devise. Feel free to enjoy it and to think freely as you do. Although this program will have no tangible effect on everyday life on Earth, and that in itself is debatable, the implications for science, philosophy, and even religion are profound. And now, back to our program.
Here comes.
Which is brought to you through the courtesy of the fine people at SRN Media Works and all the affiliates who run this program live. And as a repeat? What?
He said to me, be sexy, so I was sexy, and I was sexy and awesome and fantastic. And he said, be fabulous, and I said, I'll be fabulous, darling. Oh, and I said, please be on my radio. And he said, yes, yes, I'll be on your radio. And I said, oh, I bet you say that to all the girls. Frank is on right now.
You are listening to Cotolo Chronicles.
Cotolo Chronicles is brought to you by The Short Stop, casual jeans and slacks for short men.
.com.
Visit us at theshortstop.com.
We're going to be there.
You can go there live if you're in the area of Pennsylvania. But I think, imagine, and assume you will go there on the web. We'll tell you about that later because pants are very important. Right now, what's more important? Hey, congratulations to Canada. They're loving everything that's going on there, and they're hosting the Olympics. I know that dates the program, but what the hell, right? Put it in the time capsule. We'll be back again shortly after this word from the next millennium.
What?
For now, let's thank Canada for everything they do, is certainly what they do for us.
There's this guy.
The Cotolo Chronicles, where they allow us to be on the air. And that's pretty damn important to us because, you know, what are we going to do? Talk to the walls?
Yeah.
Let everybody stand up. Would you please just somebody
stand up? Stand up. Like, come on.
Oh, Canada.
Oh, Canada, Canada. I didn't sound half bad there 10 years ago, huh? What if I sound any different? Let's move. Let's do the rest of this opening from...
Yes, from Vancouver to Toronto.
He's in my
way. Country. I know. I've been there. I've walked in my shoes.
Yeah. You did.
And up there in Vancouver, I had some of the finest fish and chips I've ever had in my life.
Yeah.
A lot of pow in those fish and chips. Okay. Big time pow. It's what I call British Columbia. Pow it. Pow, pow. More pow than British Columbia. Pow.
Pow, pow, pow. Pow.
Call it. Archives, my friend. Stay here, don't go away. It's me and him. I don't feel any older than 2010. I don't mean that's my age, I mean. Just keep going. The cadence, the dynamics, Cotolo Chronicles. My name is Frank Cotolo. Man of the name that joins the title of the show. Prove it. Prove it.
Cotolo Chronicles.
Nah.
In your face and on the air. And that's just the way it should be.
Should the way. Should the way. Should the way. Hey, Larry, how are you?
One, two, three.
Time to lay down some serious sound.
Here we go again.
Wake up, it's night.
Shake that thing.
Good God.
It's a good idea, you know.
Work it.
Just do the show with myself. Old shows with myself.
Shake that thing.
The mic on and do it with them, huh? What do you think? Except without the pants. No shortstop.
Cotolo Chronicles.
And he's going to chronicle.
We're here, Mr. Guitar.
Once again.
We're here.
Even please. As we speak. Is
get
that him?
That's him. Ready, right? That's him.
That's Cattolo over there.
Two.
You know what I mean?
Two Cattolos over there. Yes, so. You got it. Down to one.
That was one too many Cattolos, huh? Of the same ilk.
Okay, we're back with just me.
Most of that beginning was just so good, I didn't want to, you know. Besides, so many people didn't hear it. My name is Frank Cattolo, man, his name is George, the title of the show, Y2K Plus 19 here. On the great broadcast. That's what we get a call from now. The great broadcast. I'm writing that down right here. On the great broadcast. You're welcome for the wonderful radio. My name is me. And you know me. I was here. I'm here. I'm one, two of me, three of me. With my pants, without my pants. What's it matter? This is Cattolo Chronicles and we're here. You know, there's people who have podcasts, they can't talk with themselves from 10 years ago because they weren't on 10 years ago. Right? Right! Judge everyone who's not there. Godfather of Internet Radio, the Bard of Broadcasting. Here I am for those of you who listen. Stand by for action. Ice cap to ice cap, from Hamlet to City, from Othello and into every bordello. You never know what is going to happen, ever. The best laid plans of rodents and hombres. I'm going to write that one down too now. I'm cooking. Wait, of rodents? I'm going to have to write this book. Well, I hate when I do that. Cross the whole thing out. Okay, I'll start again. Of rodents. Rodents and Hombres by Frank Cattolo. I'll get working on that as soon as, you hear that? Yeah, that's my pen on the, I'll get working on that as soon as the show is over. Here we are again. That, what you heard, a combination of me, putting my two cents in, with me, as I did, 9 years ago? What was it? February 25th, 2010, I guess about. I guess that would be 10 years, right? Because now we got to go from February to February, is 10 years. And a lot of you may not have known of me if you're listening now. You might not know of me now and you just found this somehow. But it's me, Frank Cattolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. And I'm here. We have all the conditions working for us. Even the humidity coming in, because the summer is here, it's getting a little humid. There's been a lot of rain, a lot of thunder, and it's been way worse in places that luckily for us, we're not there, and unfortunate for those who are in parts of America where they wake up to tornadoes and, wake up to tornadoes. Twisters that take the whole house away, and thank goodness some of the people live through it, but gone are their furniture, their food, what is a furniture, their food, their walls are gone, their roof is gone. I mean, this is horrible stuff. So we're in good shape being here and able to do this. And we've had our share of technical problems, weather problems. In fact, I was listening to the weather. And they were talking about here being big thunders, you know, and rain and stuff coming through. Last Sunday, I was writing, sitting at my desk with my computer and writing, and these thunder was just rattling the house and lightning, because
Do you play that? You know that lightning game? Anybody out there know the lightning game? I don't even know if this is true, although I did study some meteorology for various things I had to write. And I don't know if this is true, though. I'm sure. This goes way back. Maybe it was true way back before there were meteorological, digital, and sophisticated equipment. I could forecast 5 days away. Wow, you know, when this show began, in fact, forget about when it began, in February 2010, I don't think they have the sophistication that they have today, 10 years later. But there used to be this, when we were growing up, they used to say, when you see lightning, count. Now, they never, just count like the seconds. And have you ever tried to count seconds? Because you'll within 4 or 5 of the numbers that you start counting, you're going to start doing it more quickly. I don't know why that happens, but it does happen. Try to keep exact time by counting the seconds. Oh, and I don't mean right now. If you do that, you're going to find it that, how are you going to do it? Well, if you do it, and then let's say you do it up to 15 or 20, you count 1, 2, 3, right? Count to, and then know where you start by looking at the second hand, if you have a second hand, unless you have all these LED phones all around, LED phones. If you have that, forget about it. You just have digitals, forget about it. You got to have a second hand. How come there's a second hand and not a first hand? There's a second hand. Second, as in the seconds. That's why. So you have a second hand. Know where you start. I think start at 12. And then count the first two looking at it so that you get a tempo of seconds. Because seconds are seconds. They measure. It's 1 second is not longer than the next second. Every second has the same space between it. Now, while you're doing this and then you take your eyes off of the second hand and continue to count. When you get to about 20, look at the second hand again, and I guarantee you, you're way ahead. Okay, so now that that has been said, and I just know that the clock in your head is not going to work like the clock on a clock, the second hand on a clock, the seconds. You're not going to be able to maintain the exact space between seconds. From what my experience, and I draw a lot of experience doing this, yes, I've had people do it. From my experience, you go faster than it. You don't maintain, you don't get slower. You get slower, you're falling asleep, then that's different. But just if you're conscious and you're doing it, you will get faster, okay? So when you see lightning, they used to say, I don't know if anybody says that anymore. They used to say, when you see lightning, and you can't hear lightning. You see it. You can hear lightning if it cracks like it's done here in this studio right here. I swear to you, as sure as my name is Rufus P. Squanderbolt, more than once, a streak of lightning. I guess it'd be streaks of lightning, right? That's what they are. Streak of lightning hit. Now I gotta count, right? I gotta estimate the time, the space. Well, hard enough to estimate the space between seconds. I have to estimate while looking out the window here. Let's say 6, 8, let's say 12, 14, 15 feet from where I'm sitting right now. You don't know where I'm sitting right now, but just say 15 feet. So it didn't hit the house and outside where it came from. It originates outside. It's lightning. And literally, hits the ground and there's it's a big force. And it makes a puff of it's dirt. So it didn't crack anything, but you see the dirt go flying up and a little burned thing there. Some grass went really fast, obviously, because it's lightning. Lightning does not go slow. That's why they say, hey, it's quick as lightning, right? He's faster than lightning. No one's faster than lightning. All right? Let's get this straight. No one can run or move. Let's just say move as fast as lightning. It will not happen. that any human being, I don't care. So don't go watching these Marvel comic movies and think it can happen. Can't happen. You know the Flash? That's not Marvel. That's the other, the DC Comics. You know him? Well, when he runs in the comic books, I got to get back to the thunder, the lightning thing, the thunder and lightning thing. You know, it's not even the lightning now. Now that I think of it, it's the thunder. Oh, you know, it's the lightning and the thunder. Yeah, that's it. Okay, let me do this. Then if I don't talk about the Flash, and I want to because I want to talk about Superman, but let's move here. Let's go right here where I am talking about the lightning. When I was younger, they said when you see lightning, count to like, just count. Start counting, like I said, seconds. You'll eventually hear thunder. Wherever there's lightning, a couple of seconds later, not necessarily a specific number, you're going to hear thunder. And then when you hear the thunder, oh no, wait a second, that's not it either. Wait, the thunder? Yeah, you hear the thunder. Sure, that's it. It's not my mind. It's not the years that have piled information and ideas and visions and things on my mind. It's not that. It's literally remembering being the child who heard this. So you count seconds after you hear the thunder. No, it's the lightning to the thunder. I got into this thinking I knew what I was talking about. You see the light. Let's do this. You see the lightning, then you count as accurately as you can the seconds. So you see the lightning, whether you see the streak or not doesn't matter. You just, cause lightning, you might not see the streak. You'll just, but the sky will light up, you know, a flash. Like but the flash doesn't move as fast as lightning. That's not what I'm saying. Okay. When you see the lightning or the flash, whether you see the streak or not, whether it's 15 feet from you or not, well, there's 15, well, yeah. Then you count. And I don't put words in. They used to say you want to be accurate with the seconds, counting seconds, use the word Mississippi in between, which is this nonsense. That's because I could say Mississippi faster or slower, therefore getting an inaccurate space between the seconds. And one person could go, one Mississippi, two Mississippi. And I can go, one Mississippi, two Mississippi, three, see? So it doesn't. But so let's say you're very close. Let's say you come up to five. After you see the flash, as soon as you see the flash, you count one, two, three. I'm already too fast. I know that's already too quick. Okay. I automatically go faster. You may go slower, but you're going to speed up as you go along. But let's say you get to six, the lightning, and at six, you hear thunder. Thunder will always follow lightning. Okay. Always. Always. This we know. This meteorologists can measure, but now they don't have to use Mississippi's or an inaccurate mind count of seconds. They will know. But let's say you're doing it, you know, what would it be? Not automatically, you know, manually with your mindfully, whatever. Let's say it was six between the lightning and the sound of thunder. Someone would say, this is what they told me. They said, well, you know what that means? That means the storm is 6 miles away. Whatever number you came up with, between the time you saw the lightning, started counting, and then ended counting, was how far the storm was from where you were counting, from the spot where you stood on the earth. No one ever knocked that theory down, disputed it. But I don't know. I find myself when I see, you know, it's so embedded in me, and a lot of things in your childhood are like this, be so embedded that there's this automatic counting, this automatic recreation of whatever that memory might be or what you were told to do. So you do it. And that doesn't mean, maybe that's where the OCD stuff comes. Is that OCD? What is that? Is that OCD? like the thing where you touch something a certain way and then you always got to touch it that way. Is that, I don't know if that's OCD. But, you know, it's like you got to balance one side from another. Otherwise, you know, the world is out of whack. I don't even know. I just know people who had that. But nobody disputed that. Even when I was in radio and did television, no one in the meteorological department, why didn't they start calling them meteorologists? You know, remember the weathermen? The weathermen, I'm not talking about the radical group during the 60s, not the musical group. I'm not talking about the weathermen who were a revolutionary radical, I don't even know what were they, that the weathermen. They used to call themselves the weathermen, because of the way the wind blew. And they were, I guess, they were left. People all the way on the left. They weren't on the right. I don't know. I just know they were. And so a lot of that stuff comes up, and you must have those things going on with you too. The thing is that when you start doing it, like I said, it's automatic. You don't remember, you don't think about doing it. And I found myself doing the lightning thing. As I said, last week there were lots of thunder. There were lots of thunder. There were thunderstorms. There were many thunderstorms, said Frank. And I found myself doing that. I don't know if it's correct. I don't know if it's an old, thing. This manual way that things were done when there were objects, machines with moving parts, and there were no zeros and ones, is what I'm saying. There were zeros and ones, but they were all involved in doing math. It wasn't. I know what you're saying. I can hear your mind from here. Okay, so my name is Frank Atola. The man's name adjoins the title of the show. I don't hear thunder. I don't see lightning. We're calm and collected, as we do this edition of Cthulhu Chronicles, which, of course, later on you can hear on other stations. You go over to cthulhuchronicles.blogspot.com and find out where and when, or you just Google it, or do whatever you do to find things. Anything I tell you to do on the interweb, you probably do know a way to do it better. Anything I could do, you can do better when it comes to this stuff. So go do it. JuicedTalk.com, where you can, download it and hear it whenever it comes up there too. But the great broadcast tonight, this afternoon, this evening, whenever people play it. That's the thing about this show. It's not necessarily a night show. Many people listen to it on stations during the day, afternoon, morning, way over there past the international dateline. Is there a national dateline? Well, there's time changes. There are time changes. You're welcome for the wonderful radio. The great broadcast has begun again. Now, I got that one. The great broadcast. I keep these things, and, I come up, just like you heard when you were listening to the opening of that February 2010 show. I had these little things I said. I don't say them anymore. I don't know where they go. They just kind of disappear. I still say things like, don't forget to replenish your precious bodily fluids. I have my water. I had my coffee already at the pre-show. And I have my water. I love it. I love the crinkling. What is this called? The sound scope? Ah, and there's the new water softener. In case we need water. You don't want hard water. Isn't that funny how they call, that's hard water. I still don't know the difference between hard water and soft water. It's one of those things, I don't know why they use hard and soft. Probably because they went for the least common denominator description. But in any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, here are we together on the wonderful radio. I am the difficult historian, I'm the, whatever it is. And I had to, I've had some requests. You can make requests for parts of or shows that, topics, shows that we did in the past, which are only available for me because our archives there at Juice Talk only go so far back. I have shows that go, well, I found data from shows that go beyond, that go back to 2002. I just have not tested them and see if it works. Why did I save things as data? I'll tell you, I don't know. Someone said save it as data because at that time, CDs did not hold 2 hours. Yeah, they didn't hold 2 hours. And they had to be waves. I don't even remember the particulars of it. I do know that you can go to fcatolo@yahoo.com, as some people do. Not a lot of people, but that's okay. I can't make everyone happy anyway. They will say, did you ever do a show on Bengal Tigers? And I did. Yes, I did. And I have to look it up and find it. You don't have to ask for a specific subject. You could type it into the CatoloChronicles.blogspot.com search, and it will take you to a date and something that was written between, 2000, what does that go back to, the 2004 up till now or whatever, and, it'll take you to a date and something that was written about the show done that week. And then you could say, can you play that show, on the email? And I will. Now, somebody who's into, I was going to say cartoons. I don't mean cartoons. I guess I mean, superheroes. What would that be called? I'm into superheroes. That's comics. I just will call it comics because that's what it was always called, even when they weren't funny. And now, of course, having been replaced, not replaced, there are still comic books, but they're big and they're that paper and they're expensive. But a lot of the same characters exist there. Someone asked about worth of comics because there are collectors and there are still stores where you could go and there's a bargain for vintage comic books. I went back to the time before they were like they are now when they were 10 cents, 25 cents. The cheaper they were, the older the comic. And of course, they got to be in good condition. Otherwise, they're not worth anything, but unless there's none. I mean, I had an original Spider-Man. I don't know how old was I. How old was I when Spider-Man came out? I could look it up right now, but I'm not going to. I was 10, 11, 12. I don't know. And I was into reading comic books. I was just starting to read big books. Okay. And let's say with comic books. And lots of comic books, not just comic books. We did a show once on a comic book called Classics Illustrated, which were famous novels that were made into comic strips. Comic strips. And Classics Illustrated had a series. I don't know how many they had. But they would take famous books and make them into comic books so that kids wouldn't just see Batman, Superman, Wonder Man, Wonder Woman, Shield, the Shield. A lot of people don't know the Shield. And then later on, of course, Spider-Man, Fantastic Four, Classics Illustrated, gave children a chance to read in the form, the shape, the Peter of the comic book, very famous books. Charles Dickens. They had, Best of Times, Worst of Times. Is not the name of it. And I was the name of it. They had Frankenstein. How about that? You know, they had, the famous novels. They had, Moonstone. There's one you do not hear a lot as a famous novel called Moonstone or The Moonstone. They had Robin Hood, The Adventures of Robin Hood. They had. Do I have to go on? I think you understand what I'm saying. We did a show on that, and I'll look for that now that I thought of it. Okay, but someone was asking about a show I did about value, like selling comic books or what have you, and I remembered. Well, you know, there was back in February, I did a show about the sale of the original Superman comic, the original. It wasn't called Superman. Superman was debuted in a comic book called Action Comics. Later on, he was still on Action Comics, but he got his own comic book. Action Comics I forgot the year. You can hear it because I'm going to play some of that as a request on this evening or afternoon or wherever you might be located. Man, I'm going to have to find that spot on the show. I did not look ahead of time. Ouch. I did not look ahead of time. But every once in a while you're listening, you're going to hear that you're a peak. Hey, what is it called? Oh, no, I forgot that. Oh, God. I've actually forgot what it's called. A clip. Thank you, brain. My subconscious, always available. Not always, but, you know, when I call upon it, it goes, there's no big wall to go through. I have saloon doors, and I call upon my subconscious, and out comes that. So on February 25th, which was a Thursday in the year 2010, I did a show on the selling of that because it was in the news. Someone told, I don't remember how much, we'll find out. So there's that. And, you can ask for a show and, or some type of thing. I'll find out if I did it. And this is what we'll do. I'll be here live. So it's kind of like a rerun, but it's only a rerun if you've heard it, listen to me. You hear it as it was done then because it was documented digitally. It was digitally documented. All right. So I'll get around to that. And we'll be on for as long as we want to be on. Okay, so again, it might not be the full 2 hours. And that's not because I can't do 2 hours. I got a little touchy there, huh? Well, what's my friend getting old? Can't do 2 hours anymore. What do? Huh? Get tired around the first 90 minutes? No, it's not that. It's just that, you know, now that I do not have to bring somebody, I mean, it didn't matter anyway. I could have brought anyone else in. There's no one on after us. It goes up to the cloud or wherever it goes. It doesn't really matter because when it's over, it's over. There's no reason to pad. I'm not like I padded. I didn't pad all those years. I did 2 hours from start to finish, you know? It's just that now, you know, I'll do as much as we need to do and that's it. When it's over, it's over, okay? We have this freedom because this is alternative radio. This is interweb broadcasting. This is where it's at. Now, so we'll get to that soon. I was going to do this other thing. I had some other topics, and I don't know if I... Maybe if I want to do them after we play some of the stuff. What should I do off the top? See? You know, see how randomly I go along? It's okay. It's fine. This is the way it would be because I'm talking to you. And you know. I'm talking to you. Each one individually, not how many people are there. But this week, some things that I was thinking about, well, some things on the net. Let's talk about some things on this out here in I don't want to call it cyberspace. And nobody does anymore. Nobody says cyberspace anymore. That was a big phrase, word. It's not a phrase, it's a word. Well, it's a word. It's a phrase? No, a phrase has more than one word to it. Hey, look, that comes on there too. I need to shave too. Yahoo is doing this thing now, and I don't like it. You go to the Yahoo homepage, which I, you know, over the years, I've had many, you know, homepages. I mean, what page are you going to make your homepage? You could change it, obviously. And I've had so many over the years. I go back to when I had Macs, and I used the London Times at an office I had. Why? You know why? Because I remember I had the London Times on my Mac. What was that called? That little Mac, the one that had like the back, like an alien's head. Was that an iMac? Is that called an iMac? Yeah, I don't remember what it was called. They had one of those in my office, and my home page was the London Times. I don't know why, okay? I don't know why. But I do remember that because it's related to where I first heard about 9/11, about the attacks. It was in my office. And I'm going way back. I'm going another 9 years before 2010. I don't even forget about what we were doing here then. I don't even know if we had broadband. I guess we started around then. But okay. And I remember that it was on the webpage. So the London Times had a webpage, check it out, as long ago as 2001. A lot of newspapers had webpages in 2001. And I was going to do this thing about, someone wrote to me this thing about, you know, newspapers were, all newspapers are really, you going into the newspaper graveyard. Because analog and, you know, it's all, we know that. You know that. And a lot of you, I don't know how many of you were so young that you don't even remember Hold'em newspapers. Well, they still, there are still some and they sell them around the country. But I remember seeing, you know, breaking, I don't know what they call breaking news or whatever. There was something about that because I remember getting on the phone and I called my wife and I said, because she was my wife then, so that's why would I not call her my wife? And I said, quick, put on the television. We didn't have television. They were, and they didn't have the streaming things. There was no YouTube. You couldn't go. So this is right. There was newspapers. Some newspapers had websites, but there was no streaming and there was no place you could go. It took a long time to even download something that was sound, no less. Forget about visual. You had to go to regular television. So I told her, turn on television. I had something about a plane hitting the Twin Towers, but that was the first plane. It wasn't even the second one. So anyway, I remember having my iMac, if it's called an iMac, and that, what happened to those machines? Nobody has those things anymore. You can't buy one. Everything is just so different, isn't it? Hey, yay, yay. You know what my grandfather felt like when he was growing up? And, you know, and he heard on the radio, because they did those things on the radio. Someone talking about a plane that goes faster than a propeller plane. The jet engine. Dun, dun, dun. Yahoo does this thing now. When you go to the homepage, you'll hear immediately launching sound an ad. But this is this is not necessarily new, because they had little boxes and you could, of course, expand them and do the whole screen if you wanted to watch the ad or whatever. And that's always been there. But you could go over, you know, you could scroll over to that particular spot, and it was like any YouTube or video. I mean, call them videos anymore. You could, well, yeah, visual, that's right. You would click pause or stop. You click the stop thing. Well, this is what, there's no stop. It now you launch it and something comes up automatically launches and there's whatever is there, some ad or two people talking or something to buy someone to buy something, you know, an ad, a sponsor. And it's annoying. Now some people find ways, everybody finds a way, not everybody, some people learn of a way that you could stop certain things, like, you know, the ad blockers. I don't know if ad blockers work on that. If you go to Yahoo and this thing launches and you can't shut it off, it's going to run its course. That sucks. I want to hear it. I'll click it. But if I don't want to hear it, I should be able to turn it off. What is this all about now? I'll bet you they charge them extra for that. Google still has nothing, right? Google is not like Yahoo. Go to Google is your homepage. It just says Google and the name Google, the words Google. You know, they change for the season. They change for a special holiday. You know, it says Google in different fonts, different designs. But it doesn't have like, you know, news and dun, dun, dun. It's not like a busy little news page like Yahoo. And that's fine. I don't mind that they have, things you could click, that are advertising. It usually says sponsored or something on a, when they have a little headline, show you news. And, but you know, if you go some, I don't mind that, and the, or that it's busy and you can scroll forever and get news, or that they have also list of trending names and places and nouns. Okay. I don't mind that. It's when it gives it to you all by itself. Now, Google is great because Google is nothing. So you're saying to me, well, Frank, make Google your homepage and never, ever, ever worry about this again. I have logins, as you probably do, to both Google for my Gmail, and which I don't give out, and for Yahoo. So I have, you know, accounts everywhere. Not everywhere, but I mean, at least in those two places. But you know, it didn't bother me. The Yahoo thing didn't bother me. Now it bothers me. I'm thinking, well, you know what? Maybe I'll make Google my home page. After all, I use, Docs, Google Docs. Is that what it's called? Google Docs? You know, where you, it's like Word, which is like way better than having Word. But you have to be online. Of course, Word, you don't have to be online to use Word. But now that they got you by the keyholes, and they make you either rent Word at $75 to $100 a year, or what? Or you got to buy it for, Lord knows what it costs. What does it cost? $489? Which sucks for someone like me who uses only the very basic Word. They should have basic Word. Right? And if they want to charge it forever, you know, I'd pay $75 for basic Word. And then it does, you know, the basic stuff. Just, you know, limited margins, limited fonts. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me if you give me less, as long as I can have it as mine, not rented. Because connected to that rent money, there's so many things that I guess a lot of people don't use. They can't. It's got to be that way. Not everyone uses all that stuff. So I pay. I only did this like 2 years. And then I might have mentioned this on this show. a representative, I'm not going to tell you his name, at a store said to me when I complained about, you know, buying it, renting it, and I was complaining, because I do that. I complain. I write letters to people, to industries, to, you know, anyway. Well, he said, why don't you just use Google Docs? And I went, what's that? Because I just don't keep up with this. What pissed me off, too, is that Ray, my son, he knew, he goes, yeah, I use Google Docs all the time. Why don't you tell me? What, how did this happen? Right? Speaking of Ray, let's mention this. Anyway, so I don't like that happening there with Yahoo, so screw it. I may just go to Google, and everything will be Google, except for a couple of email accounts I have over it. I'll stay with Yahoo. I just don't have to have it to me. It doesn't have to be my home page. And Yahoo is also what? It owns other places. Flickr? Does it own Flickr? Who's Tumblr? I don't know. I can't keep track of this stuff. I don't even go to half of these places anymore. Ray, as I mentioned, I have two sons. You must know them. They've both been on the show. If you listen here and there, you might have heard them. Okay. Ray and Jack were here. The last time they were here together was to partake in the making of a documentary called The Cotolonoscopy, which followed my odyssey. You know, it's got to be funny because, you know, you just can't take it seriously when, you know, in the world there's amazing things happening and horrible things happening. But anyway, there's a documentary of my cotolonoscopy. That doesn't mean you see it. That doesn't mean you'll see the procedure or anything. But you will see me when we did a show that evening, the evening of my cleansing. I had cleansed all day. There was no food, just Jell-O, and that is a food, but you know, and drink. Drink, and the clearing of the bowels. So there's nothing disgusting about this documentary. It's kind of funny. The boys following me around up until we actually entered, although there's one or two little, we snuck in one or two little shots during it with some of the people on the inside, because there was some fun nurses and I don't think the doctor's there. But, no, we can't do that without permission, but we're not going to do it. We're going to post it. Ray is editing the Cotolinoscopy documentary. I went to see my personal family doctor. Let me call him a family doctor because he has a family. So if I had a family, but now I'm the family. So well, I went to see this, and he's been a big fan of Cotolo Chronicles, and especially the videos that still are, you know, are still available on YouTube. Ones we did years ago, and with my sons and other people, and of course Bill Bostic, who directed and edited the wonderful pieces, and appears in some. Okay, so we're going to most likely load that documentary onto the Cotolo Chronicles page. If you haven't been there, go. People wander by there now and then. We did these very short and sometimes funny related Cotolo Chronicles related stories with, you know, they were stories. I don't. What are they? They were, you know, I don't know. They're not documentaries. I don't know. They were videos. What can I tell you? They were just things. You could still go there on YouTube. I guess it's Cotolo, or is it just Frank Cotolo? I have no idea. But you'll find it if you look for it. We're going to post the Cotolinoscopy. When I told my doctor, who knew I got the, he knew I got the colonoscopy. In fact, he suggested I get the colonoscopy. When he heard the name of it, he just cracked up, and he really likes it. So I'm going to, so we have an audience out there waiting to see the wackiness that went on. Ray and my other son, Jack, my older son, Jack, they were terrific. They guided me through the procedure. No, they weren't in the room. You know what I mean? They stayed with me while I went through the cleansing. Not easy. I don't know about you, but I said, you know, I mean, it was fun because of them, and it wasn't that bad because you'll know about it. It wasn't that bad because it was really promoted as being a horrible experience, and it was not. And so it was fun, even though I don't like not eating for an entire 24 hours and more. But we have it, and then after, when I come out and I'm fine, we go out shopping, and there's more. And we drive home. It's just fun. Come on. And it is a, you know, it's really a positive promotion for the procedure, which I hope people out there do get that procedure. It's, you know, earlier than I did. I'm fortunate I had one 16 years after I was supposed to have any. And there were other ways of checking for colorectal. I see rectal, colorectal. What is it called? You know, cancer in the passageway. There are other ways to check it because we're in a tremendous, and you know, it's digital. It's amazing. You'll hear about it too, because, part of it is the show we did that evening, which you could still hear at juicetalk.com. So there's all sorts of, you won't hear all of the show in the documentary, but you will, and stuff too. So that's going to be coming up, and I'll let you know when that's happening. By the way, you're welcome for the wonderful radio, and you're welcome for the wonderful documentary and all the things we do free. Now, are there things? Here comes the pitch. Yes, there are things that I do that cost money, and it's not a lot of money. Certainly not in relationship to the entertainment that it produces. And those are my books that are on Amazon and blurb.com, which you can now get all of them, each of them, any of them in digital form. Put it on your phone, because from now, you know, when I started coming out with the books, it was, you had to have a Kindle. It was on your Kindle. And now I don't even know, but I know that anybody who's bought them, nobody said, I can't see this. I can't read it. And Amazon. Just look up my name at Amazon.com. You know that. You know that more than you know. Those are the main ones. The big ones. Amazon.com, where you get Sweet Shepherd, Licensed to Skill, Man of La Mantra, And what? That's it? No, the poetry book, Wordsworth Shelley. And then you go over to Blurb, B-L-R-U-B, B-L-U. I can't spell the blurb. I said Blurb, B-L-U-R-B.com for Molotov Memoirs and more Molotov Memoirs, two books with those have wonderful illustrations by T. Stephen Gesick, whose name you may see if you look at, if you read credits on lots of shows that are on cable and things, you know, because he's a art designer. And he goes, he was one of the original art designers for Tosh when it was on 1-0. Hey, talk about somebody who's been on forever, huh? How about Daniel Tosh? Yikes. Okay. So there's that. And I haven't even started to talk about Muhammad Ali. I'm going to do a whole show on Muhammad Ali one of these nights. How about that? Okay. The Superman comics. And of course, this is the great broadcast. Look what we've done so far. We've accomplished a lot. We've gotten a brand new saying. I don't know what to call them. They should have names, you know, these little things we say, these snippets, you know, like, the thing with the beverage. we should have. Well, we have that, and I have of rodents and hombres, which I think may be a blog idea. Speaking of blogs, when you buy the books, you could still get funny stuff. 148.ca/Frank. Every week, from now until forbid, and I'm way ahead, so you know they're going to be there. A quick and easy and fun blog. Some of it related to the show. Some of it related to the world. Some of it related to my past, my experiences, and of course, my comedy, which you may or may not be acquainted with, regularly or not know or even care about. So, you know, what can I do? This is how I'm going to sell this stuff, right? But that's free. And the 148.ca in itself is a great, even though it's concentrated on local, there's a lot of stuff there that people from all over can enjoy. Now, you ask me, what do we do now? Well, now, let's forget about the little thing about going to the bathroom. What is it? You know, let me find a spot on the show here. Hello? Okay. Let me find a spot on this show from February 5th, and maybe this will go an hour, I don't know, where I started the, follow it with me, okay? Why not? What are you going to do, walk away? Let's see. I'm at now, 43 minutes into it? No, wait a second. It's got to start earlier than that. 31 minutes into it, I did this.
You got to replenish your precious bodily fluids.
See, there's that thing.
I have fabulous coffee here tonight.
Okay, so I said that. Now let's see if we go to 47. 40 minutes into it.
Shorts on a short person, 5'2" to 5'9".
There's a commercial. That's the shortstop. When we used to have shortstop.com. I never even went to see if it's still there. You can do it if you want.
In fact, what? If you were a fan of the Seinfeld show, did you know that every Seinfeld...
Okay, here you go. It starts somewhere here. Hold on.
It's a beautiful scene, isn't it? I mean, it's a beautiful piece. That's why I offer,
could get past
and
this,
that would make the pants shorter. Anymore. What happened to cuffs?
Okay, I think we're about there. Why don't you listen to this? It has to do with the Superman thing, whatever happens. And I will be back live to when we're about to leave or what have you.
Huh? Yeah, remember cuffs? You know, you usually see them. If you see them anymore, you see them in some kind of portrayals of people who live in the West or the Midwest, not Midwest, the Southwest, farms and ranches and stuff. That's why, for some reason or another, and on ranches and farms, people couldn't hem pants, and that's why that's why in the movies, and not even in the movies, in reality, because they must still be out there. You could see people with the cuffs. What does that have to do with the shortstop? I have no idea. Just go to theshortstop.com and get pants.
If your short is a report, we've been here all along. It's one stop, that's the
shortstop at theshortstop.com. That's theshortstop.com.
From Reuters comes this news item. A copy of the first Superman comic has been sold on the internet for $1 million by a private seller to a private buyer, both of whom remain unnamed. It's considered by most people as the most important book. It kind of ushered in the age of the superheroes, says John Dolmayan, a comic book collector and drummer for the band System of a Down. Approximately 100 copies of the first issue of Action Comics, which sold for 10 cents when it was released in 1938, still exist. But only two of these books have a grading of 8.0, meaning very fine. Chris Connect, the comic is, according to a comic sold on Monday of this week, according to Stephen Fischler, co-owner of Comic Connect, the comic is the holy grail of comic books. The sale is more than three times the previous record of $317,000 for a sale of a lower grade first issue of Action Comics that took place in 2009. Less than a week after controversy erupted over what some interpreted as an unflattering depiction. Oh, that's another story altogether. $1 million for a comic book. That's why I'm playing a very famous theme to the contemporary Superman movies. Actually, not even. Well, yes. Yes, they used it in the reboot also, huh? It's a beautiful scene, isn't it? I mean, it's a beautiful piece. I remember once I was listening to this and I was watching it. I was in a studio, a recording studio. I was looking at one of these oscilloscopes or whatever it is where the lines, the blue and green lines just go crazy based on the sound and the volume of the piece that you're playing. And I was stoned out of my head. And what a beautiful, beautiful experience that was with this just filling up the room. It's a great piece. Superman. Let's just listen to the whole thing, all right? One of the great things I like about movie soundtracks, as I've mentioned before, is that they take
They take all the elements of fine classical music, and they work really well. Also, when you listen to them, you know, and you're not watching the visuals. Anyway, that's the very famous Superman. It's not that famous, actually. It's a popular thing. But, you know, why do I bring this up? What does this have to do with pop culture? Because some guy, there's a number of, as usual, and we're going to try to use critical thinking for this. And it's good because I know a lot about, believe it or not, I know so much. I know way too much than I need to even address about Superman, Superman comics, Superman movies, and Superman television shows, everything. And did you know, in fact, if you were a fan of the Seinfeld show, did you know that every Seinfeld episode has a reference to the world of Superman somewhere in each script? Did you know that? Jerry Seinfeld, a gigantic Superman fan, and of course, he's the guy, and didn't he do commercials? He did commercials with a cartoon Superman. Anyway, the thing about Superman that I love is the fact that, like I said, he is this particular figure, this character, is one of the foundation characters of a whole world of pop culture. When I did the program on Steve Allen, I tried to impress upon you that that Steve Allen was a foundation person. He was a person who, because he made certain things popular. He was an original in a sense, even though he was a combination of all of his own influences. The point is that because he did stuff that became popular, other people did, and then it grew into a format, it grew into a genre, it grows into a category. Okay, these kinds of people are extremely important to me, and I think you should understand them also, because they really do make up the building blocks of pop culture, and those things affect your life, whether you know it or not. So it's like, you know, you'd like to know more about your own family. That's why people go to an ancestry tree. Well, you know, the branches of pop culture are also important because they define us as a people. And then to define us as a people is to be able to, define yourself as an individual from wherever you happen to be or what have you. You don't really know. I don't know how some of this stuff affects us. But okay, so here's Superman and here's a comic book. Why would someone pay $1 million for a magazine? Well, let's talk first of all about Superman, all right, and why this is so incredibly important to the whole scheme of things. Now, you know, in this day and age when, you know, the rich get richer and the poor have children, that was always the case, though, wasn't it? Right? But here we are again talking about the underdogs and the looking up to heroes. As you know, that Marx Brothers movie scene, of course, this comes right back to what I was saying in a certain way. But here's Superman. Superman. Think about how, now, you know, later on, there's a Spider-Man, there's an Iron Man, there's a Batman, there's all these other men. There's a woman, there's a Wonder Woman, you know, and there's an Invisible Girl, and there's a Fantastic Four. And all these, types of people who are superheroes. Think about superheroes, even take it from the name. Here's a guy who was just, he's just super. I mean, to take the word super and put it into this context, is the genius of two guys, Joe Shuster and Jerry Siegel. These guys, as teenagers, had a little fanzine. They just made up their own little fanzine. And in it was a story about a guy named Superman. No, he wasn't named Superman. His name was Jor-El, and he was from another planet. So this is different than all the other superheroes. But remember, this is like really pretty much, we're looking at the first superhero. The comic book itself dates back to maybe 1837, as I have, to my knowledge. okay? And there's this crazy guy named Obadiah Oldbuck. Believe it or not, right? Obadiah Oldbuck. You can look this stuff up, I swear. Okay, he, in a comic that didn't come out in the U.S., it was a foreign. It was it happened over in Europe somewhere, but it came out here like in the early 1840s. So the whole idea of a comic book had to develop first before, while that was developing, see, Joe Shuster, Shuster and Siegel, which sounds like, you know, you're, Shuster and Siegel sounds like a vaudeville act, okay? Shuster and Siegel, who were creating this, just had a short story in their little magazine that they published themselves back in 1930s. These are kids. They're teenagers, okay? So it'll give you an idea of what can happen. They didn't know, realize that not only were they creating the vehicle of their lives, and that would shape their lives, their livelihood, and that they were also throwing a pebble into a very calm stream, and the ripples would just never end. As ripples never do, really. And they didn't know that. But they wrote a short story. They didn't write a comic book. They wrote a short story called Superman of Metropolis. A short story. Words. They didn't, you know. They did not know that they were setting, they were going to set the standard for superheroes in this whole thing, which today, if you think about it, and you don't have to think about it because you see it, is fodder and for movies and perfect for effects. It's just never ending pool of entertainment and wonder, because we're always going to look up to the high and the mighty. So they did also, and they just decided, and you can imagine sitting around, it didn't sound lame in those days. What about a guy who has this great strength, they probably said. And he has like great strength and he can do all, and they're mainly creating this guy, of Metropolis. And remember, they made up a city that they modeled after New York City, Metropolis. They modeled it after that. And they were sitting around thinking of all the things that this guy, and they, you know, they wouldn't have a name for him. If you saw the Superman movie, the one with Marlon Brando, the first Christopher Reeve movie, you know that Superman himself did not have a name. This was a very, very clever interpretation of the Superman story, which was revamped for this movie. Okay, the S on his uniform. If they call it uniform, what would you call that? On his costume, I guess it's a costume. On his costume was not an S. It was a coincidence that it was an S in the movie. It was because that was what his father wore, because all those guys wore these emblems on the planet Krypton, okay? And so then when this was rebooted, now oddly enough, and many of you may not know this, that movie Superman, the story that was rehashed, like I'm reading it right now, and he wasn't known as Superman is what I'm saying. He was not known as Superman until Lois Lane tagged him with the name when this strange creature started, you know, flying around Metropolis. And she said, wow, what a Superman. Superman. What a Superman. Very simply put it together. That's the genius, believe it or not, of Mario Puzo. The guy who gave us The Godfather is the man who wrote that movie and made and rebooted the whole Superman thing. But Shuster and Siegel, when they created Superman, was it's like he's a Superman. He's, you know, he's not a regular man. Do this. This man does this stuff because he's super. And they use the word super as Superman. It was a lot more. It was a lot more lame and a lot more corny than it. I mean, it was very brilliant how they did it in the Christopher Reeve movie. I think that's a brilliant way of introducing his name, and not making it sound corny. That it came from a newspaper person who had to give him a title, give him an identity, beyond that of mortal man. Okay. And so that was really good. But Shuster and Siegel just wrote about the Superman of Metropolis. It was a guy, and they wrote about this guy. I would love to get a hold of this short story. I don't know if it's available anywhere. I don't know if it's, Anyway, I mean, you might want to try to find it, or you might, it might be somewhere in the DC Comics archives, or I don't know. I don't know where it might be. Schuster and Siegel, I believe they're both dead now, but through their lives. But it is amazing. These teenagers wound up altering the pop culture, the world, because Superman certainly became a worldwide figure here. So this was the story. This short story was picked up and was interested. The comic industry giant of the times, a guy named Max Gaines. I don't know if he's connected to the William F. Gaines guy from Mad Magazine, who that publisher. I don't know. Maybe it's the same family, the Gaines family. G-A-I-N-E-S. You could look that up later on. Write this down. Use your Cthulhu Chronicles notebook. Gaines. Perhaps he is. He is the guy, Max Gaines, liked the story and liked the idea of this guy who could fly around from, and he was from another planet, but he looked like one of us. And so he brought it to Dell Comics. That's right, Dell Comics. DC. Dell Comics. Did you know that's what it meant? Dell Comics. DC Comics. He brought it to Dell Comics, and I don't know what he paid the guys. I know there's controversy over the years about the use of Superman and Mr. Schuster and Mr. Siegel. They were lawyers and stuff, because obviously the great conglomerate tried to steal the idea from him and just take it. It can throw them off a couple of dollars. They were kids. They were paid whatever they were paid and had no idea about royalties and stuff. I don't know the story of Schuster and Siegel in terms of the economics of this. We're not talking about that. The point being that Schuster and Siegel created Superman, and Max Gaines helped to create Superman from that story. More about this, more about the $1 million sale of this comic, its importance. As the most important book? The most important book? Think about who's going to be angry about hearing something like that, huh? More about that right after our 1 hour little break here.
Join me, Philip Ong, along with Michael Gwynn for York Region's earliest morning show, Mornings with Phil and Mike, 4:55 a.m.
Eastern Standard Time. SRN Media Works. SRN 1.
Hello, I'm Nan Claire, your counselor on the air. Would you like to meet with a counselor without making an appointment? Would you like to learn about the latest developments and most relevant topics in mental health today? Would you like to better understand yourself and others? Then join me and Dave every week for Nan Claire, your counselor on the air. Better living through better listening.
You can hear and talk to Nan Claire live every Monday night at 8 o'clock Eastern Time right here on Round Table Radio.
Frank Cotolo. He just talks and 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 talks.
Where secrets lie.
Hi, this is me, Frank Cotolo. Fridays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you get to hear Cotolo Chronicle.
on a program called Cotolo Chronicles. That's what I do. It's present tense from here to there. The internet's first. All talk show still here after all these years. Come on down. Run it. With a red right hand.
Sunday nights have just gotten a lot more intense. Tune in at 7 p.m. EST to the Fabulous D Show.
Now, you have to remember that a lot of this is from a long time ago here. So some of these shows aren't even on, and some of these people aren't even these people. So we're going to move on to the more of this stuff. I'll have to move this ahead. Does that mean?
Of literature and the elements of fine drama. Okay, mm-hmm. Beginning, middle, and end, mm-hmm. Three acts, the whole deal.
What?
Main character, all the stuff, right? So whether it's a villain or a super villain, a super hero, there has to be one, maybe two, but there's something that they're not perfection, is what I'm saying. There's always something that could get to them. There's always something that could kill them. They're not indestructible, per se. Because they do have a flaw. I don't know if you'd call that a flaw. They have there's a tons of words for it. I'm not going to look for them right now. So that was Superman, Jor-El has a flaw. But think about this. It's 1937, 1938. 1938 comes this comic book. A book in this thing you could hold in your hands, friends. This is not virtual now. We're in the world of actual analog and stuff. Here's this comic book. It's in color. And, you know, I grew up in the Silver Age. I don't know, man, the Silver Age of comic books. That was like, you know, the beginning of, Marvel comic books. All of that stuff that happened in the early 60s, late 50s. The Superman and the Batman, all this stuff that was going on. Very, very big industry at that time. And then, of course, Marvel came along and really, you know, blew the lid off of DC. And then there was this incredible competition and this. Okay, but all those, I've often said this before, because now I know there's great, great value to the comic books that I owned. We all have stories, people of my generation, baby boomers, all have stories of the boxes of baseball cards and comic books that were in mint condition. And that we all bought firsthand. Maybe we had two copies, but we never thought to keep them, no less to keep them well preserved, because condition is the key. I had the first Spider-Man, and that's not going back to 38. That's going back to 60 something, early 60. I don't remember when Spider-Man began, the Fantastic Four, when that whole Marvel explosion began. I had all those first issues. Today would be worth tons of money. Never. $1 million. This puts a cap on the value of the origin of this great figure in pop culture. Superman. A lame name. A red, white, and blue uniform. And he flies around. He can see through things. He could do anything except one thing can kill him. But he's got eyes that can see through things. He could also burn things. They're like lasers. He could do everything except become invisible. Doesn't matter. He could travel the speed. I guess he could travel. I don't know if he could travel the speed of light. But for God's sakes, he could go from planet to planet a lot faster than anyone can even imagine. Okay, so here's this comic book comes out, and it's now 1938. It costs 10 cents. The price of any comic book, it's 1938, okay, did not change, I think, for the next 20 years. I know that because I remember buying comic books for 10 cents. A dime for a book you hold in your hands. I say book, okay. With, I don't know, a lot of pages, even though it was two-sided. What is it? 20 pages? I don't know. A normal comic book of those days. And 10 cents. Now, 10 cents, was not an easy thing to get a hold of anyway back in those days. I mean, everything is a bit different. A bit different? A lot different. But think about this. In 20 years, the price of a comic book doesn't change.
think about the other things that in those 20 years changed. I would imagine the price, and I haven't looked this up. You look it up. Write this down. Look it up. But you know, this is how we look. This is how we think about this one thing, Superman, and how it fits into the entire cosmetic and the cosmetic makeup and the intricate makeup of our times. When Superman comics cost 10 cents and all comics cost 10 cents for 20 years, well, what did milk cost for 20 years? Did milk go up? I think it did. You know, did bread go up? I think it did. It was still 10 cents. When you think about Superman comic, you also think about the fact that the printing industry, the book industry, the magazine industry existed at such an a great level that it was an industry. What is it today? You see how we're going, you see how this fits into the Hallelujah Trail? We're looking at foundation principles here. We're looking at the beginning. We're looking at the stuff that just doesn't exist anymore. In fact, comic books, let me just bring this up to you. Comic books in the beginning were more like, I mean, before the Superman, before the panels, they call them panels, you know, where they had the bubbles that had the, you know, people talking bubbles. This is the stuff you still see in comics, although they become a lot more exquisite in how they deliver the words that the characters speak. But it was originally kind of like a graphic novel. So think about that. How does that come full circle or what? Because remember, Joe Shuster and Jerry Siegel had this little magazine, and that's where this, and it was a short story, prose, words, Superman of Metropolis. And that the first comic book that we all recognize, as I mentioned before, The Adventures of Abadiah Oldbuck by a guy named Rudolph Topfer. I think it was Topfer or Topper, Topfer, this guy. That particular thing, which was found almost 100 years before the Superman comic comes out, okay, was kind of like a graphic novel. It wasn't kind of like, well, when I say graphic novel, the young people out there understand what I'm talking about, because they exist today, and their artistic endeavors, they're more than just the words, they're beautiful pictures and stuff. This is a good place for me to insert the fact that Molotov Memoirs, my new book that's coming out, is not just a book of words with white sheets. It is, in fact, it's not a graphic novel, but it is a graphic, it is an artistic presentation, aside from the words and the stories, okay, and the text. So, and today, we know that there are movies, not just based on comic books and comic book characters, but on graphic novels. If you saw a movie, a wonderful movie, certainly a movie that, if I may add, has become one of the my favorite movies of all time, called The History of Violence. That is based on a graphic novel. The Road to Perdition, which is another great movie. I don't know if it's on my top five, but who cares, right? That it's a great movie based on a graphic novel. The whole idea of pictures being presented with dialogue, you know, comes from comic books. And comic books are, you know, in essence, the first real, fantasy things, you know, and it's because they're showing the pictures and the words. It's not like H.G. Wells, and all these guys who were writing these books, novels, words, trying to emulate pictures with words. And then suddenly, the comic book mentioned said comic because it was originally done with funny things, you know, and that's why. But then there were serious things. But originally, it's this graphic novel. They draw pictures, and then they have words and paragraphs that are prose, not just dialogue, which is what goes on in comic books that we know, contemporary comic books. This is dialogue. He talks to the bubbles through the whatever, right? But not there's not a lot of prose per se. The pictures show you things. That type of comic book originated in the, you know, early 1840s, growing out of the adventures of Obadiah Oldbuck. Don't ask me this character, what Obadiah Oldbuck was a famous for doing or anything. I don't know. I just know I remember certain facts that, you know, fly around my head in the case of being able to explain things like this. The copy of that. The reason they know that is because they found a copy of that, and a grade A copy, I guess, a copy that was the best known graded copy of The Adventures of Obadiah Obuck was found in Oakland, California, and they have the price of that is just unknown. Now somebody got a hold of that and paid a lot of money for it and put it away somewhere. I don't know where these precious pieces go. Where's that Action Comic going to go? What use does that Action Comic have now? Someone paid $1 million to have it. What do they do with it? They just have it. Do they have it so that it becomes more valuable? Is it now a commodity? Whoever bought it is not passing it around at a dinner party and saying, look what I got. And people flipping pages, because every single finger put upon that object, you know, brings it down, affects it in a negative, it affects its price, because fingerprints, you know, moisture, crinkling. So here comes this DC comic. By the time Dell Comics puts out this Superman Action Comic, 10 cents. Do you know, you think there's anything, there's nothing as far as I know. Do you think, I'm going to say this right now. I don't think there's anything from 1937 that would have been worth only, its top price in that time was 10 cents that could be worth $1 million today. Is there anything else? Can anyone think of anything? I can't. What on earth could be worth $1 million today that was worth 10 cents then? And this is the first superhero comic book. Now, I don't have to tell you, because I think you understand that Superman does not fit into the blend. Superman goes through many changes through the years, many different artists, many different incarnations. In fact, they reboot the whole series by killing him and bringing him back then some other way. You know, they do all sorts of stuff. Change his uniform. They do everything. Because they know that they have to keep, if you're going to keep Superman, just like we talked about how they rebooted the James Bond series and movies, because they have to keep finding that new audience. Because your audience, when something goes through decades, your audience dies. And then a new audience comes along, and you've got to make sure a new audience comes along. Otherwise, the audience dies and you're gone, right? So Superman goes through a lot of this, but he's, because, and also he doesn't have competition in the beginning, say, but people become very other people. And this also, now, this fits right into neo-postmodernism, and it's just another element and more proof. It's testimony to this entire neo-postmodern thing. Superman spawns an entire population of superheroes through the years. It hasn't stopped. Even though books, you know, in publishing, we call them books. I was in publishing for a while. We call them books. It's a magazine. We say, how about the new book? I loved that. I loved the fact that they called them books. What a respect for the published work, even if it's just a magazine. How about the new book? Did you see the movie The Devil Wears Prada? They talk about the book, which is the mock-up of what will go become the magazine, the book, the new issue. What about the new book? Didn't we do that last week's book? What about, even if it got, yeah, books. A lot of newspapers don't call them books, but magazines are called books. They're bound, they're stitched, put together. They're bound. However, they're bound is in the story. It's a book if it's bound, no matter how big it is. I always loved that when I got into publishing and learned that. What book was that in? That was in the July book. Okay. So in the history of comic books, that's the name of a comic modifying book, and yet it's not comic. An entire population of superheroes created. There are people out there who read Superman And these are creative people. This is the neo-postmodern element right here. This is what makes pop culture explode. This is what gives it tentacles. This is what allows it to breathe. And so there's a guy out there. I'm not going to tell you I know who the second superhero turned out to be in comic books. I don't know, but think about this. I mean, Bob Kane, K-A-N-E, eventually and early on comes out with The Batman. The Batman. Originally, and in all those early comics, he's the Batman, not just Batman. And you know what's happened with Batman, who's different than Superman, because he's not even a superhero. He's a superhero, but he's a human. He doesn't have superpowers. He just has heightened talents and muscles and things. But that doesn't matter. He's a costumed hero. Hero. Superhero anyway. And then think about it, if you want to think about it, because the whole Dell Comics itself generates, as time goes on, superheroes and opens up the entire genre. Other comic books, I don't know a lot of the magazine comics, but I mean, there he is. Captain America comes along. And not just superheroes, but series of books with heroes. The whole concept of hero, which is no new concept. Comic books doesn't invent heroes. For gosh sakes, that's classic. Heroes goes back to Homer, goes back to the Odyssey. It goes back before that, probably. Heroes. Hercules, the gods, heroes. But it, costumed heroes, whether they be super or not, whether they are teams, whether they have teams, this entire genre is built from the bottom up, based on Action Comics 1938. So what this person or persons who have bought this for $1 million have gotten is like, I don't even know how to make an analogy to this. Could it be like having, it's not even like having the first full-length movie? Was that The Great Train Robbery? Is that the great first full-length movie? And that wouldn't even be the foundation movie. What would be the foundation movie would be the first movie, maybe. I don't know. But would it be like that? Not even like that, because that would be the comic book. That's the theater. That's the origin of the theater, the movie. We're talking about the content here. Schuster and Siegel create a new kind of hero at the time, a new kind of hero. DC Comics knows that this is great, because those kids are shelling out, they're begging, borrowing, and stealing dimes and 10 pennies and 2 nickels to be able to get a copy of Action Comics. Think about that, 1938, there's only known 100 copies now known. Was it 70 years later? 72 years later. I'm proud of myself for coming up with that math, by the way. Although you heard a pause? Oh, yeah, I was using my fingers. I'm sorry. I told you. I told you. 38 to 48, 48 to 58, 58 to 68, 68 to 78, 78 to 88, 88 to 98, 98 to 2008, 9, 10. 5, 6, 72 years. Dell Comics comes up with other ones. The Batman. The Flash. See what they did was, then they took various, Superman had all these superpowers. They took superpowers from him, and they became spin-off guys. The Flash is a guy. Now they're not aliens though. They had to find new ways to make these guys super. In those days, it was something chemical, something magical, something happens to them that's weird, that never happened to anyone else, and it gives them superpowers. It doesn't give them a disease. I mean, like in Spider-Man, you know? I mean, that spider that bit Peter Parker, right? in real life, in actual life, that spider would have killed him. But in order to do it, makes him into a spider. The Flash is just a guy who has super speed. And Superman has super speed. That's just one of the menu of superpowers has Superman. But the Flash. So they make the Flash. Flash the Batman. Oh, then man after that. Man, all men. Aquaman. Aquaman is a fish guy. He's a god of the fish. He's a Superman of the sea. Aquaman. I'm thinking of these off the top of my head. Green Lantern, who is, you can't even remember a lot of the Green Lantern thing. He's got a lantern makes him into this guy who has crazy powers. Green Arrow, a guy who uses an arrow. All these arrows. He's got the talents. He uses arrows. There was another, I'm thinking of the whole cast of characters. There was another, by the way, I think it's fascinating that Green Lantern, through the years, has changed and is, there is a Green Lantern movie going to be. Yes, that's right. They haven't even scratched the surface in the movies of covering this cast of super characters. This is going on, and this is such incredible material for them, on and on. Look what happened in Iron Man. Iron Man? There's another lame thing. Iron Man. Well, that's not even the Marvel. I'm just talking about the Delcom. That's Marvel. Let's not even go there, Spider-Man. Let's talk about just the beginnings of the thing. The original cast of characters comes from Del Comics. All originates from Superman. How they started to come up with all these other heroes. Because they knew. Just like they knew. And there were guys out there who said, hey, you got Superman. They'd go to Mr. Gaines' office, I'm sure, and the people of Del Comics, and they'd say, you know, I've got Superman guy, listen to this. This guy in the water. And he's like, you know, he can't be out of the water. He's like a fish. What do you mean, like Fishman? No. Aquaman. And he's from Atlantis. And then there was another one. There was John Jones, J-O-N-E-Z, his real name. Manhunter from Mars. A Martian. There's a sideways Superman thing. He's green, but somehow he was able to turn himself into a secret identity. They all had secret identities. Nobody, you didn't want to know who these guys, who are these guys? No, Aquaman didn't have a secret identity. He was just Aquaman. So there were variations here and there, but people, once the Superman thing took off, everybody was like, hey, what about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? Neo-postmodernism. They were inspired by this creature from the planet Krypton who could do all this stuff. My, what a Superman. And so it became more complicated. The Batman was bats. You know, had to do his darker type thing. Aquaman, the water. How about Hawkman? There was a Hawkman! Yes! Hawkman. It's a hawk. And he's got wings. Every possible connection. Eventually, they said, what about the girls? What about the girls? Huh? Along came Wonder Woman. And there's a lame basic name. Wonder Woman. She's a wonder. And he's Superwoman. And even from Superman, think about this. Superman became so popular that the spin-offs of Superman themselves spawned other editions, more fans, more generating more readership, because Superman, there was a Superwoman, Supergirl. No, there wasn't a Superwoman. Was it? No, there was Supergirl. There was Superboy. So once a Superman was out there, then they came out with Superboy. And this is what it said. Superboy, the adventures of Superman as a boy. It said that on the cover. And this was the story of Clark Kent growing up in Smallville. Metropolis, Smallville. These are such basic elements to drama. And in themselves are socially, they're social comments. They're metaphors, they're allegories and metaphors. Smallville. Now, you know that they came up with a television show. You know, you start thinking about the vast scope of all this. Just Superman. And you're fascinated. You could be, and think about it. Every possible way. Superman has survived through all the high tech, all the different spin-offs. He survived as a man. He survived as a boy in a series. The Superman Smallville is the story of Superman. I used to love that. It said Superboy. I remember how it was printed. It was kind of like a half, like a, what, like a marquee, you know, starts on the bottom, goes to the top and comes around like a half moon. it said, like the bottom of a half moon, not the crescent. Superboy, The Adventures of Superman as a Boy. And make sure that you know that the Superboy is the guy as a boy. Not, you know, any Superboy. So Superboy, Supergirl, she also came from there, Krypton. So apparently, you know, so they expand the series, and then while they're doing that, so while those spinoffs are going on, along come all the neo-postmodern guys and gals, variations. Wonder Woman. I believe is the first woman superhero. I don't know. I think Supergirl might have come after Wonder Woman because they kept spinning off Superman. Okay. So there's all this stuff. And then meanwhile, Hawkman, Wonder Woman, and then Del Comics says, you know what we could do? Let's put the Flash. Hey, what if we had them all in one comic book? Holy crap! They're thinking, could you imagine that meeting? Did the cash register sounds just deafen the room? Deafen the ears of those at Dell Comics? And so they created the Justice Society of America. Later, that would be, and you know there's a cartoon series that was made, Justice League of America, is the rebooting of the Justice Society of America. In the Justice Society of America, all those Dell comic superheroes got together. There was evil so bad that it couldn't be addressed with one superhero. It had the whole society, a society of superheroes. This goes on and on and on and on. Could you imagine somebody who has? And remember, through all of this, the 10 cents, milk is going up, gas is going up. Wars are going on. Mr. Gaines and Dell Comics. The Dell Comics is an industry. Because not only is it creating these superheroes and these books, these comic books, that are being now, kids are now, forget it, kids wanted 10 cents to just get Action Comics. Within 10 years, kids need $1 a month. These are monthlies. They need $1. Some of them, I guess, are quarterly and whatever. They come out at different intervals. But kids need $1. $1 within 10 years to get the 10 comic books that are going to be hidden in their school books that their mothers and fathers are going to say, stop reading that trash. It's going to become this, as all great cultural, it's going to become a phenomena. It's still a phenomenon when I'm growing up, and it goes into incredible proportions before the whole thing blows up. I mean, blows up. I mean, you know, before it becomes before it metamorphosizes into something else. That's what it metamorphosizes means. It metamorphosizes. Period. And not only that, but later on. Wait a second. Now, Superman, let's go back to Superman. While this is going on, while all these other characters and stuff are going, the very character of Superman is then adapted for radio. There's no television at the time. There's radio. And a man named Bud Collier, who later on would be known on television for a guy who, in a game show called, I think it was called Beat the Clock or something, you know, his early game shows of television. Bud Collier was the voice of Superman on radio. Later on, that was a trivia question. Bud Collier was the voice of Superman, you know. Superman on radio. Superman went into the movies early because they used to do serials. And on Saturday afternoons, kids would go to the movies. And then there was no television. And they'd see chapters of a long story, serials. So it was like an episode. Like you would watch an episode on television of a particular program. They went to the movies to see something. And Superman is a serial. I think there were two Superman serial. Well, there were three later on, but there were two with the original guy who played Superman, a guy named Kirk Allen. And that's spelled, I know I remember it because it was always spelled weirdly. A-L-L-Y-N, Allen. Kirk Allen. I don't know what else. Maybe you could go to the International Movie Database and find out what else this guy did. You know, write it down, put it in your Cthulhu Chronicles notebook over there. Kirk Allen was the first time Superman was made into made into when he was delivered and presented as a human being in a moving picture. Kirk Allen played Superman. I believe that's the first Superman. There was a Captain Marvel also. Captain Marvel, Captain America. These are all Superman spinoffs. But Superman went to the screen in these, I think there were two serials, to Kirk Allen. And then they put them together, made it into a movie. Television brought us George Reeves. The tragic story of George Reeves, and nobody, I don't know if anybody knows that. Hollywoodland is the name of the movie. It's the story of George Reeves and this actor who strangely wound up dead, shot. But he is the guy, and he was cursed with that. He became Superman on television, you know, and he didn't want to do it. He wanted to be a serious actor, and he became cursed with this part, this role. Nobody wanted to give him work after that, because he was Superman. What do you need work for? Okay, but here's the point. The point is that in neo-postmodern behavior, the idea is to take these things and to make them into various other things, be able to take characters, put them into different mediums. This is what happened. And then to create new characters, put them into new mediums. It's just, and as the mediums go on, because popularity is popularity. And then, you know, things like, hey, if that's super, you know, this stuff hasn't changed. The commercial world has not changed. It was popular, so let's do this with it. Let's do spin-offs. Then movies come along. Let's make it into a movie. During the World War II, there were Superman cartoons. Brilliant. I mean, you couldn't make these cartoons today for the price they were made in those days. Because, you know, that was before digital. We're talking about drawings. If you ever get a chance to see the World War II Superman cartoons, they're fascinating. Maybe they have those on YouTube. Great music, great art. These are definitely pop culture icons. Cartoons, the Superman cartoons. These are great, wonderful, beautiful things. 35mm, big screen. I don't know if you can see them like that anymore. All this from a 10-cent book. All this from a short story. My two teenagers, Schuster and Siegel.
And that, yeah. That's right. And their families, I believe, must get some royalties or, wow. I kept saying Dell Comics, I noticed. And then DC Comics was it once Dell Comics and it became DC Comics? I don't know. That might have been wrong. Everything else I remember as being correct. And today, what's that guy? Henry Cavill. Who'd have thunk we'd be talking about this? And that wouldn't be something, who would have thought that if 10 years later I played that, and you'd say, like, really, there was a thing called Superman? He's still out there. And all of that pre-Marvel, pre-Stan Lee and Joe Kirkland. That's not his name. I forgot his name. I got the great Jack Kirby. There you go. Jack Kirby. That's right. Can't forget Jack Kirby. True, there's all of that before. Well, there you go. You are welcome for the wonderful radio. And for, I found that for you. And there you go. Couldn't have done it again any better. Just as much the same as I would have done it now. My name is Frank Atolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. We hope to be back again completely live. Maybe with some tidbits from the past. Maybe with a guest. Who knows? It's coming up, though. One more Thursday in May. Good night, Mrs. Ernstwhile, wherever you may be located. And we'll be skipping off into the night or into the afternoon or into the morning and starting our day, according to when you're listening to it. And that takes care of that for now. So you're welcome for the wonderful radio. It's the radio I leave now because I have nothing more to say.